Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, I'm welcoming you out for a wonderful show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, so you can live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But guys, so much more important than that. It's about creating a life of legacy, creating a life of meaning and purpose, because as you prosper financially, you can bless the lives of other people. Because as I always love to say, money is a magnifier of the soul. It makes you only more of who you already are. So first and foremost, we're here to make you an awesome person. Secondly, figuring out how to make that money grow and create freedom for you right now. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great stuff on there. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know, go ahead and subscribe to Money Ripples with Chris Miles. Subscribe to that to follow up on other videos and even these podcasts that we post on there too. So check it out. Hey, how would you love to earn up to 10% on your money every year while also helping people stay in their homes? Guys, that's exactly what the fund with American Homeowner Preservation allows you to do. You can invest with as little as $100 and be able to use that money to help people stay in their homes by being able to refinance so they can stay in the homes with the families that they love. And guys, this is only open now until November 5th, until it's closed for the rest of the year. So if you want to learn more information about this, go check out their website, www.fundingahp.com. That's F-U-N-D-I-N-G-A-H-P as in American Homeowner Preservation.com. Check it out. Today, guys, I want to talk about how to use debt responsibly, right? It's like drinking responsibly, as some people would say, right? Now, this is about using debt because in the world right now, I mean, there are a lot of institutions trying to throw money at people. You know, there's been the EIDL loans and stuff and the PPP loans. So a lot of you that are business owners have had options to have money thrown at you. There's people that are offering credit card offers. I know I get them daily between credit cards and capital, working capital for the business and everything else, right? Here's the key thing is that how do you know whether it's a good idea to use that money, right? Should you be using it or should you not? You know, and if you do use it, where should you use it? Where is a good place to use that money to invest versus what's not a good place to put it? So that's what I'm talking about today. Now, of course, I'm never giving blanket advice. I'm not giving any advice about actually like things you should be investing your money into. I'm not giving you advice for your situation or anything like that. But I want you to understand the principle and the concept behind this, because if you understand the principle, everything else makes more sense. And I get these questions all the time, whether people are asking to borrow from their 401ks to use that to invest. I had a client recently that said, hey, Chris, I have these business credit card offers that I can do. What should I do? Should I actually take those offers and use that to invest? Now, for the most part, if it's like credit cards and even 401k loans, I'm going to say no, don't use it for that. I would also say if you're just trying to get money out to then blow it, no. The key here is that, are you a wise steward when it comes to your money? Are you more of a gambler with your money? Because if so, you shouldn't be doing it. If you're more of a spender, you shouldn't be leveraging debt, right? You shouldn't be, and we say debt. I mean, I know it's not really debt. We're talking about leveraging loans or lines of credit and things like that. Debt, if you go off the real definition, is negative equity, right? So when you're upside down in a car, that difference between what the car is worth and what you owe, that difference is debt. Right? Equity is the exact opposite. Equity and debt are the opposite of each other. You have $100,000 of equity in your home that you are debt-free, even if you have a mortgage. But yes, you're not liability or loan-free. There's a loan to that. And that's the key right here is that, first off, what kind of steward are you? Are you going to be wise with this money or are you going to blow it? Right? That's the first thing. Yeah, if you know, if you're really honest with yourself and you know that you're going to blow it, either spending it or to gamble with it, that's not a good idea. For example, if someone says, hey, I'm going to throw my money into the stock market with debt. Now, first off, you're not supposed to do that anyways. I remember when I used to sell mutual funds, you know, 2005 and prior, back in those years, we'd have to have people sign their life away, along with waivers that they initial saying, and one of those points would say, I did not borrow money to put into the stock market. Why? Because that's what people did in the roaring 20s. And then when the market crashed in the Great Depression, money was lost like crazy and banks needed to be protected. So they don't want you putting money in the market. By the way, if you want to see responsible leverage, and we'll come back to this in a little bit, watch what banks do. But I'll tell you, banks do not throw their own money in the stock market, and neither should you. The other thing is too, if there's more speculative ventures here, things that are, you know, like when people are talking about lately, like pre-IPOs and IPOs, again, that's like the stock market, don't put money in there. Bitcoin arguably would also be considered speculative. Yeah, even the people that love and support Bitcoin. And by the way, we're gonna have an episode on Bitcoin here soon. The thing is that is still a speculative venture. I would not leverage debt to do that. If you do, you gotta be super, super cautious and careful. Right? You got to be pretty much willing to lose that money and somehow make up that debt. You got to have some other monies offset to do that because you're taking higher risks. Now, that's when you shouldn't use it. What can you use debt for? I personally believe this basic rule that debt should be used to buy assets. Now, I'm not just talking about, like I said just before, I mean, you might say, hey, mutual funds are assets, Chris. Doesn't that count? No. More specifically, cash flowing assets, right? Now, it could be growth assets, but again, you gotta be careful. There's a few caveats there. But when it comes to it, basically, the basic thing is it a cash flowing asset? And will that asset more than pay the payment on that debt? This is why I'm usually against 401k loans. Notice I say usually. Again, a strategy is hardly ever gonna be an always or never situation because it's the principles are always and never. Strategies are conditional based on situations and the steward and who's dealing with the money, the investor, right? Well, when it comes to 401k loans, the payments are often so high. For example, if you get a $50,000 loan, it's very common to see that you're going to have about a $900 a month worth of payments back to that 401k. So you have to hope that that investment is going to return you at least a 20 to 25% cash on cash return, meaning that the cash flow coming through is paying you at least, let's say 2% a month. So if you borrow that same $50,000, you'd hope it would make you $1,000 a month. But if you borrowed $50,000 from the 401k, you're paying $900 a month, but the investment's only paying you $400 a month, you're now losing $500 a month. Now you can argue and say, yeah, but Chris, like really, I'm just putting the money back in. I'm not really losing it. It's like, I get that. I understand. But the thing I've learned that's so important is that cash flow equals freedom, as my shirt says here, right? It's all about the cash flow. If you have so much money to burn a hole through that you're like, I've got so much money extra, you know what? I can make this work as a growth play for me. Great, do that. You know, that could work. As long as your cash flow situation is very, very good. I don't just mean paycheck to paycheck. I mean, like maybe you've got an extra 10, 20, 30,000 a month that you're just packing away that you have extra. Awesome, you're good. But for those of you that might say, hey, I'm trying to make every bit of my money count. And I need this. Wrong way to use that strategy. This is why credit cards won't work either. Often credit cards, you'll have to make at least a 30 to 40% rate of return on your like cash flow return to offset a credit card. Now that being said, there are times it can work. You know, and we've had people on this show before. Like we had Mitch Steven that's been on the show a few times where he talked about how you actually use credit cards to go and buy properties, right? And that's how he got his start. Now, granted, the credit cards were a little bit more flexible back then. They gave you as much limit as you want, but he was an active investor. Now, if you're doing passive investments, this is much harder to do. But if you're an active investor, and this is what one client asked, he said, I'm getting all this business credit. Can I use it? And I said, well, I would try to stay away from that. You know, the only way it would work is if you're doing more active investing. He said, yes, I'm actually buying properties for cheap, renovating them, turning around, flipping them. Great. Well, that could work given the right conditions and that you're still protecting yourself in case of loss, right? But that could work. So I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But again, if you're inexperienced and you're just trying this for the first time, it's like giving a monkey a machine gun. You don't want to just give you a loaded weapon and you haven't been trained how to use it, right? So if you're going to do active investing, make sure that you've been good at that active investment, whatever that is, whether you're, you know, fixing and flipping properties, whether you're doing like I've had the Land Geek on here, or maybe you're doing land deals. Maybe that would work there. Awesome. Great. But again, you got to be careful. You got to make sure that the cash flow more than compensates for the payments. That's the key. Again, you want profit. You never want to be in a place where you're at a loss each month. That very rarely will ever work out. At least that's been my experience. I know it can work out, but again, it's so much, there's so much of an emotional factor here that helps when you know you make more money than what it costs you. This is why if you're going to use, you know, I have a lot of times I'll tell people, hey, let's do a cash out refinance of your mortgage. What about using equity from your home? Now, granted, the payment on those, much, much less, much cheaper. You know, getting a home equity line of credit right now, for about every $300 you borrow, you're only paying about $1 a month, right? So as long as you're making about a 3 to 4% rate of return, basically, if you're making at least a 4% rate of return, you're good. You're at a cash on cash return. Now, in the passive type of place, like where we talked about doing things with buying either turnkey real estate properties or doing syndications, those can maybe be more growth plays as much as more than cash flow, but there are some cash flow ones out there too. There might be things in like funds. You know, we talk about AHP where we have advertised on the show, right? Things like that, where they pay you regular cash flow, regular monthly income. In those situations, that could be a great thing because say you borrow $100,000 from your home, it costs you $300 a month, right? And I'll even go up higher. I'll even say it's $350 a month, right? Now, if it costs you $350 a month, okay, great. Well, if you can make at least $800 a month, now you're more than doubling the payment. You're creating that safety, that security from that, right? That's what's so important is that if you can create a much bigger payment than what you're paying, there you go. So you notice it comes back to really a few key factors here. One, is that make the payment for you. Because if the payment's high, you don't want that. This is why I talk to a lot of my clients about going to 30-year mortgages instead of 10, 15, or 20. Because if you can go to 30-year mortgage, it's a lower payment, less risk in case the worst were to happen. But on the flip side, you know, if you got the cash and the equity, you can actually get this money working for you. That's what's so important. By the way, I've even had people talk about, hey, could I put extra money on my mortgage, but could I put the extra money I would have paid on my mortgage? Could I put that towards a life insurance policy? The answer is yes. Here's the key thing. You probably won't come out much more ahead over a period of time to pay off your mortgage. You know, if you're using an insurance policy, you'll come out a little bit ahead. That's pretty typical. But what's most important is, again, that money's in your control. Your risk lessens when the money's in your hands. 2008, the mistake I made is that I was putting equity into my house, putting money into it. Well, when crap was hitting the fan and I needed money to get back out, banks wouldn't give it to me because they said, no, we know better than that. When you need the money, that's when we'll never give you the money, Chris. And so they would never give me the money. Equity was trapped. And on top of that, because of that recession, values came down. I went from being $150,000 of equity in that house to being upside down about $150,000. And therefore that would be $150,000 of debt, right? I would have been much better off and more protected had I had that money outside of my house, had that money working for me, creating income for me, or even just sitting in a savings account for that matter. Even if it was sitting in savings, that would have allowed me to keep making the mortgage payments long-term to weather the storms I was going through during the recession. But, you know, it was a great lesson for me to learn money in your control is key. And so when I'm dealing with debt, and I'll tell you, like I've been through those hard times. I know what it's like to be over $1 million in debt and have to dig my way back out and pay it off. So I know the years and the pain and the work and effort it takes to pay those off. But the difference is that instead of taking, and by the way, that's kind of a similar experience to Dave Ramsey. The difference between me and Dave Ramsey is I understand that still debt can be used wisely, but you have to be the wise steward of that money. You have to be the one that says, all right, I know how to make this work for me. I know how to do this. Now, I know many of you don't. I've had many of clients come through, even from listening to the show saying, okay, Chris, you talk about doing these different investments in real estate investing. You've talked about maybe doing a cash out refinance or using equity from your home, but where do I put that where I know it's going to be safe? Now, often I'll tell them if you're looking for somewhere safe, the safest place, if you're going to take money out of your home, is put into another home or other homes where you've got other assets, kind of like, you know, similar like assets, right? Which is an easy place to go. Plus it's, you've got your money there. It's not 100% foolproof, but the important thing is not just keeping your money there, but that the money pays you money, right? That's what's so key. is that if it starts paying you more than what it's costing you, the cool thing is, just like I talked about in that episode called One Night Retirement, is that that payment could actually pay your mortgage payment for you, putting you in a better place, in a less risky place, right? Where right now, if your main source of income is just the income, you're in trouble. But again, if you're going to use debt, it should be going to things that are real assets, things that actually are not just of have value, but maybe you can even get that value back out, right? You know, it could be just in savings. You know, honestly, it could be that, but then you know that you're losing to interest. But I'll tell you, even if you made no money on that money, still from a safety standpoint, that's good. Another thing too, when people were asking me about taking that money they would use as extra payments to pay down their mortgage and instead pay the minimums and then take that extra and put it into like a life insurance policy, the key thing is there is that if you get sued or someone, you know, or you have a creditor that, you know, of course sends you to collections and there's a judgment against you, they put a lien against you. They put a lien against your property if there's equity in it. If there's not really much equity in it, they can't do much. But if you have the money in the life insurance policy, in most states, there's zero recourse. They can't put a lien against that policy in most states. If you're California, sorry, they like to sue everybody. So you don't have as much protection there. But in most states, you have 100% protection where they cannot get to that money at all. Even if you've got hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars sitting there, they can't get to it. So again, it's about that protection. Now that's a whole nother conversation, right? That's just, again, referring to debt and how you use it, whether to use it or not, whether to pay it down or not. Here's the ultimate thing. It always comes back to who you are as a steward. Are you wise with it? If you're going to use it for passive investments, make sure that these passive investments will pay more than the monthly payment. And also make sure that what you're doing is not speculative. You know, if you're going to be doing anything that's going to have a little bit layer of risk, make sure it's something you can control. You know, if it's something you're doing as an active investment, there might be other types of debt you can use, like credit cards or 401k loans that work. But if you're doing just passive investments where you're just buying like a turnkey real estate property or you're investing in another fund or something like that, credit cards and 401k loans are not typically a good idea. That's where if you're going to use money, it's going to be usually something from your house, you know, something that has a very low payment for it. So anyways, guys, I hope this is valuable. The key is, again, be wise, right? Be a wise person. If you don't know how to be a wise steward or wise investor, learn to be one first before you just try to go hog wild and do stuff and leverage debt. Again, debt can be an amazing tool or it can be a horrible, horrible master. It could be something that enslaves you. If you want freedom, you got to make sure you're using it the right way. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.